This is a show that hits on all different aspects of real estate. It's amazing how the housing and the mortgage market impacts a lot of different aspects of our economy and about in our lifestyles here in the Charlottesville area.
This is Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie, CEO and principal broker of Roy Wheeler Realty, former Virginia Association of Realtors Manager of the Year and Charlottesville Chamber Small Business Person of the Year. Here's Michael Guthrie.
Good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, FM 98.5. I hope your weekend is off to a great start. Now, don't forget, you can always listen to us online at www.wina.com. Click on the Listen Live button, and we're there every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Estate Matters, Twitter, capital R, capital E, capital Matters, at WINA, or I guess RE Matters WINA is what it is. And then the podcast, obviously, at the website, click on podcast, go to Real Estate Matters. You find an archive of all of our shows there, including archives of shows with a good friend, a fairly regular guest of the show. As far as regular guests, he's right up there with people like Greg Slater and Jay Dominic and the Car Real Estate Leaders, David Murata. David Murata, as a wealth management financial planning business here in Charlottesville. We've been friends for a long, long time. Usually makes an appearance here every couple times a year to kind of give us some ideas in regards to what's happening next, what has happened, what's happening next. And, you know, here we are, the Saturday before Christmas in what has been an incredibly unusual year. David, probably in yours and my lifetime, the most incredible year from a standpoint of just having to adapt to new things. As we came on the air, you know, I was saying, who would have known that I'd be a somewhat of a Zoom guru this time? That was not on my New Year's resolutions, by the way, for 2020, was to be a Zoom guru, but we've had to do it and we've pivoted and we've adapted. And I think that kind of is segues into what I want to talk to you about how lots of people, lots of businesses, have done the same thing this year for me. And I'll just kind of set the table. Back in March or April, if you'd have told me that we would end the year not only ahead of last year, but significantly ahead of last year as far as real estate productivity, I would have taken that bet and lost. You know, I was thinking back March and April, we would finish the year maybe 35% off of 2019. And in fact, with just, you know, 10 or so days to go, we have outperformed 2019, probably back in the middle of November. We hit the year, or maybe end of October, we hit the year-to-date numbers of 2019, which, like I said, if I'd taken that bet, I would have lost big time. And I probably, if I was a betting man, I probably would have put a fair amount of money down on that bet. And I'm guessing you've kind of seen the same things in regards to the way you're advising people and helping people through this.
Yeah, it certainly has been what they call a K recovery, with some of us doing great and going up and some of us out of work and unemployed, and our businesses are shut down and we're not quite sure what to do. So, yeah, it really has been that kind of year, a market of stocks rather than a stock market. And you know, we're doing fine here, but we know there's a lot of people who are not doing fine and who are out of work. And that's sort of heartbreaking on the one hand. On the other hand, you're not quite sure what to do about it because the COVID numbers are back up and we're not quite sure how to handle that.
So, David, it's a really good point. And I did want to bring it up. So thank you for bringing it up. You know, almost every other day we see another business that is having to close their door, especially in the, you know, the restaurant service business. You know, a place like Fellini's, which has been around just forever, and that they just can't make it. They, with the, like you said, with the numbers going back up and people, you know, getting cold and people having to go inside and they can't get enough people. You know, it's really sad to see that bottom part of the K, you know, impacting people. And yet there are a lot of people that are on the upper portion of that K. And the interesting thing from my standpoint, and I don't mean to make light of this at all, but when you watch the news, you see people on the news that are trying to be serious, are trying to understand and be truthfully communicate the gravity of what we're going through. But it's almost like they can't help but smile a little bit because they're in the refrigerant business. Or, you know, back in the day when it first started, that the young man who was doing like 20 ventilators a month, and he was on the NBC nightly news talking about how they just done this partnership with a Ford assembly plant, you know, and obviously his financial wealth has changed significantly, unfortunately, because of the gravity of the situation. And that's, you brought it up. It's really, really tough that there are lots of people that are doing quite well. And then there are other people that are just, you know, I mean, what is it? 54 million people that are food deficient. And you think, how can those numbers be? And yet every time you look, the lines of the cars, my wife was telling me today about where the University of Connecticut is. I don't know if you've heard about this, but they have it set up in the Husky football field where people drive in with their trunks open and they're putting food in people's cars. I don't think I'm making this up. 7 cars a minute. It might even be 12 cars a minute that they're putting, that you've got people who are putting food in people's cars and then they continue on. It's almost like the cars don't stop. It's like an assembly line, which in one sense is awesome, the way people are adapting and helping people. But it just shows that this thing is taking a toll on a lot of people.
And this is certainly a year in which if you have some margin in your accounting, giving to charity, I think is a really important year. Charities need it most when a lot of people can't give. And I think that's a big factor in all of this is if you can afford to give, you should give. You know, I'm sitting here in an office building. It's got 3 floors on it and we've got 2 people working here. As a landlord of office space, you know, I think the office space market has kind of fallen apart. We've proven we don't actually need office space. All of our staff is working from home. The receptionist and I are working here and it's working out just fine, but office space is gone. On the other hand, fixing up your home is doing a tremendous business as people are putting on mudrooms, doing home offices and bigger pantries and more freezer space. That all's going gangbusters. And so Lowe's and Depot are doing great. On the other hand, a lot of stores are shut down and not doing a very good business at all.
Yeah, and that's a really good point about the renovation business, because you're absolutely right. It's just off the chart. And quite honestly, it's impacting new home construction because there's more demand on materials. It's not just the builders that need the material. It's the renovation people that need the materials as well. And then you add on to the fact, and we've talked about this on the show in the past here on Real Estate Matters, I'm with David Murata, you know, the fires and the hurricanes and all these places that were destroyed and are being rebuilt again, they need materials. So the demand, I mean, the lumber costs have gone up just astronomically. And so new home construction prices are having to go up to offset that. But the one other thing that you mentioned that I totally agree with, and you know, a lot of people say, well, the reason the market is so good here in Charlottesville is that everybody's leaving New York and leaving, you know, blah, blah. Well, yeah, there's a little bit of that, but a lot of those people aren't leaving New York. They're just going to their second home until this ends, and then they'll go back to their house in New York. But what you do have is people in condos saying the condo's too small. Yep. People in townhouses saying, I need a yard for my kids to, you know, wander around in. People in houses that, like you said, need a second office because both people are working it from home, and they're probably going to continue to work at home because, like you, as you've already confirmed, people are realizing that people can work from home, be as productive, and so they don't really need the space. This was early on in the COVID, but I remember hearing the executive vice president for Wells Fargo in charge of their mortgage business, and within 30 days, they had moved everybody home, and they did more the mortgages, like 30% more mortgages than they had done when everybody was in the building. And obviously, you know, the security of those things and making sure all that kind of stuff is really important, but they've proven that they don't need 15 floors of underwriters and closers and, you know, those kinds of things. And it's going to be very interesting as commercial leases end, how constricted, you know, people decide to go.
Yeah. And as people have moved home and they have a home office environment, Dell's selling tons of laptops because now everyone needs a laptop at their home to work, run their business on. So technology is going up and up and up. And it's one of the things that is doing well is technology. Healthcare is doing well. Biotech and consumer staples are doing well because what are we buying? We're all buying consumer staples. And that's got a fairly high inflation on it this year, as all of those have required a little bit more at the grocery store and a little bit more in all the consumer staples that we're buying.
Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. This Saturday before Christmas, A great place to segue again with David Murata. And we're talking about the economy. We're talking about COVID, the impact on COVID. And David, one of the things that you said earlier on in the show, which I really agree with, is that people really need to give, maybe more than ever before, because there are a lot of people that can't. And we've got a lot of people who have done really well in this situation, and a lot of people who haven't. So the people that are really well, they need to, you know, kind of give a little bit more this year. And there are a lot of matching grants out there. Giving Tuesday obviously was extraordinary here a couple of weeks ago. But look around, you know, Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, Salvation Army, Almar Housing Improvement, the list goes on and on of folks that Abundant Life, who are doing amazing things out in the community around Prospect and Fifth Street. And there's just so many organizations that are doing great work and really need your help. And it's the end of the year, and this is the time that that they are counting on you to donate. But the thing I wanted to bring up, David, and as it relates to all that, is moving forward into at the end of 2020 into 2021. What are your thoughts in regards to, I mean, obviously folks our age, I know you're not quite as old as I am, but our age, a lot of these folks haven't been really impacted by this at all because they're retired and they already have their money set aside. And in some ways this has been great. You know, that they don't even have to go to the, you know, parties that they didn't want to go to or whatever the case may be. And I have friends who I don't think it's impacted them in one iota of a way. But, you know, moving into 2021, and after people give generously here over these last few days of December, talk about where you see the market going. The loan officer, Jay Dominic from Movement Mortgage, he says that, you know, he's telling people for the first 3 to 4 months in 2021, he thinks interest rates will still have a 3 in front of them. He doesn't know what'll happen kind of later in the year, but he absolutely thinks that people can hang in there and wait till after the first of the year and still get a really, really nice, almost historically low interest rate. What are you seeing in your situation?
We bought our house in 1990 and paid, I think we had a mortgage of $170,000. And 30 years later, you'd think we'd paid our mortgage off, but we currently have a 30-year fixed mortgage. I just refinanced this past fall for $190,000, because somewhere along the line, I took an extra $100,000 out of the markets. And you'd think a financial planner would be debt-free, but it's much better to have debt than not have debt. Anytime I want, I can slap over enough money to pay off my mortgage. But having that money at work in the markets has been better, and having my house go up by inflation has been better. And my house is now worth, you know, a lot more than I paid for it, but having that mortgage at work in the markets is great. So we recommend a 30-year fixed mortgage. I got 3.325, which is kind of the going rate.
And was that a cash out? Finance?
That was a refinance. Yeah.
When you refinanced, for folks that are listening, did you do that to take money and invest it elsewhere?
No, the previous time I had done, I took money out. Right. And so now I was just refinancing a loan that was existing. And, you know, in 20 years, I've taken $20,000 out of the house. I took $100,000 out and I paid off $80,000 is the way the equation worked.
So yeah, David, in that situation, let me just interrupt you for 1 second, because I want to make sure we make this point, which is a good one. For those that are listening, and when they get to this end of the year and they look and see what they're paying in taxes, and you know, that might be something to consider, is to go back and having a mortgage, because that still is a place where you can get a deduction.
And if you're charitable enough, then you're guaranteed to get a deduction. So if you have charity and you have your home mortgage, you have a deduction. That's a deduction that's still in place, and it's still at my tax rates, which is fairly high. So, you know, so I've got a sort of a win-win situation there. At 3 3/8, I'm probably paying maybe 2 3/8 of real stuff, and I'm taking a percent off on my taxes. It's a good idea. And most people think being debt-free is a good idea. Actually, having a mortgage is a better idea if what you're going to do with the extra money is throw it in the markets. You know, the markets have gone up so much since 1990 that I've made out like a bandit in that equation, and think I will continue to, because the markets will continue to go up. And that's despite 2000 and 2008 and a lot of setbacks along the way. The markets are still way up over the past 30 years. And who wouldn't want to have invested as much as possible 30 years ago? No matter what the 30 years are, it's always a good deal to have been invested 30 years.
I saw an African proverb the other day I really liked. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time to plant a tree is today.
Yes.
Because, yeah, if I could have done that 30 years, that'd be great, but I didn't, or maybe I didn't do enough of it. So, okay, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Well, no, because if I plan it now, then 20 years from now, I'll be, if I'm still here, that will be a good thing. And, David, that's the other thing as we're talking about that. What was the point I was going to make in regards to, the investing, the key to this is not to take the money and just frit it away, but to be really disciplined about what it is you're going to do with that money so that it will work for you. Because, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I forget, I got my November statement, and my portfolio went up by 10% in November because it was just such an extraordinary. Oh, I know where I wanted to go. So before we came on the show, we talked about the fact, these stars aligning. I want to just talk about that real quickly about, whether you like it or not, we do know who the president is going to be. We do have some vaccines in place now. There are a lot of different things that have kind of come together that make the market bullish, right?
And the market is kind of glad that we're going to have a mixed Congress. They don't want one party in office because one party in office tends to do things that are not checked by anyone. That's another plus. So November, both because Biden won, but it wasn't a blue wave, it sort of all works out to be perfect. And November was up 10%. On the one hand, 2020 is unprecedented times. I'm waiting for precedented years. when we can all just kind of relax and have normality. Who knows? Maybe 2020 is going to end with aliens landing on the lawn of the White House. I have no idea. I wouldn't be surprised by any of that. But I think we're kind of back to normal, and we're back to normal markets. And the markets are high, according to forward PE ratios. But forward PE ratios have low expected earnings, and we're going to come out of this pandemic, and then they're going to go back to normal earnings. So I think it's a great time to invest. There's still a lot of money that's sitting on the sidelines waiting to get back into the markets and who've missed out on a whole year of good returns. And that's unfortunate. We always think jumping out of the markets is both, you have tons of reasons to do it, and it's still a bad idea. Because when you jump out of the markets, you have now bet all of your savings on timing it correctly to get back in. And that's just dangerous. Most people, when they jump out of the markets, get back in at a higher rate. And you might as well have just ridden the ride out in that case. Because the market bottoms when things, when there's good news, the market bottoms when there's stopped being bad news. And you never know when there's going to stop being bad news. Because you get bad news. And then the markets go up because you didn't get any bad news. And that's sort of the way the markets work. And it's always better to ride it out than it is to try to time getting out of the markets.
And that's great information. Dave Marotta, just a minute or two left here. One last thing. I talk about all the time that at some point, all the stimulus money, we've robbed Peter to pay Paul. When does that come back to roost as it relates to the economy?
Yeah, so it comes back to roost gradually with inflation. I think that's the correct way. And inflation over 30 years, even moderate inflation will rob you of 75% of the value of your account. So the biggest danger to retirees is inflation. And inflation is best hedged by being invested in the markets. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I came out with a book. My book signing was today. It's The Haunting of Bob Cratchit. And it's a wonderful Christmas story. So for those listening to this podcast, you still have time to buy it with 2-day shipping on Amazon. It's a wonderful Christmas story about responsibility and gratitude, and it will make you laugh and make you cry. It's got some scenes in it with Tiny Tim and Scrooge and all the characters you're familiar with, but it's got Bob Cratchit. It's a story of what would happen if he was haunted the same night Scrooge was, in order to prepare him for what Scrooge was about to give him.
Oh my gosh. So tell us the title of the book again.
The Haunting of Bob Cratchit.
The Haunting of Bob Cratchit. You can find it on Amazon. I'll get it. I'll find the link and I'll add it into my Facebook page. David, thank you so much for being with me. I'm always really, really glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Folks, our time is up. We thank you for yours. And as always, Merry Christmas, because I won't see you till, I guess I'll catch you one more time. No, I won't. It'll be right after. And you might remember, I might sing a few songs to you a week from Saturday. But also, go Hoos.